This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
2 weeks ago, I spoke about follow me. And as I was preparing for the sermon, I felt that the Lord is saying, today He wants to speak to us about share my love. That we've got to share it with somebody else, that we shouldn't keep it for ourselves. And it actually links to what Jesus has been saying. So He was saying, follow me. So that the people were following, the disciples were following Him, and that they have got to do what Jesus is telling them to do. Because Jesus was showing an example to him. And they had to go, and they had to follow Him. And now God is saying to us, share my love. And with the follow me, there were quite a few verses in the Bible which had that follow me in it. And it was somewhat a little bit easy to get a verse and say, okay, that's where I could start with. Now with this one, there is not a verse which says, share my love. And then I thought, okay, but what is it actually what God wants to do? And then two verses which are so well known actually came up. One verse is the John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a description of God's love, how much He loves us. That's what we've got to share. And that's what the disciples, when they walked along with Jesus as well, what they could see, what Jesus has done. And then also the instruction what Jesus gave at the end, before He ascended to heaven, Matthew 28. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. So there we see, share, go and make disciples. That's the share. The love from God we see in John 3:16. That verse is so easy to use when you speak to other people. You can tell them, God loves you. God loves you so much. And it's a difficult thing for people to sometimes to hear it, that you tell them, God loves you. The Creator of heaven and earth loves you. He loves all of us. And that's what Jesus has been done on this world. He came down, He made it known. And He did it with miracles. He sent out demons, raised people from the dead. He was an example for His disciples, that the disciples could follow Him, that they also could share the love, what Jesus did, sharing the love. I'm from a family with 9 kids, so we shared quite a lot. There were always at least 10 plus around the table. So if a piece of meat came onto the table, then you immediately could cut it into 10 pieces because you were only getting a small part of it. So sharing, I was brought up with it. I'm exactly in the middle. I've got 4 older and 4 younger than me. So yes, it was always sharing. And with the family, yes, I had to share my bed as well. I slept with my brother in a double bed. Nowadays, you actually cannot imagine that it is happening like that. But that was custom for us. I was brought up like that. So sharing was easy for me because I knew I was brought up like that. I've got to share. You never get the opportunity that you could have some sweets, could sit in one corner and eat it. The house was too small. A brother or a sister would have spotted you and said, come, I also want to have. But the option of the other way around is that I also could see other people and that I could also get of them again. But then it also is that when you're sharing, it's not only sharing what you can eat, but also sharing what you like to do. So yes, I like to play soccer, and my brothers played along with me soccer. My elder brother liked to drive a scramble, a motorbike. So we did that along with him again. So we all shared, but we were used to it. I want to take you to Thessalonians, where Paul is talking a little bit about the sharing and how he's sharing and what conditions he's sharing, because I think we can learn a little bit from that and put it in our own lives. Now, Thessalonians is one of the first letters which has been written by Paul, and it was written then to the Thessalonians. It was, first of all, it was there to strengthen them, because he was praising the Thessalonians. He said, it's good what you're doing, that faith what you've got, it's awesome. And it was also then for spiritual growth. It was for purity, for discipline and godly living. And they also had questions of what would happen with the people who were going to die before Jesus was going to come back. What are going to be included, excluded? So they also had questions like that. And this is what Paul is writing into Thessalonians about as well. But we're having a look at a part in Thessalonians chapter 2. And it's going about the integrity of Paul and what he was doing. Because he had people around him who were slandering him. They were talking negative about him. What you're doing is not good, and what you're doing is for your own best will, and all those type of things. And Paul is now reacting on that. He's replying on that charges what he's getting against him. 1 Thessalonians 2, 5, verse 5 to 12. For we, that is not Paul and his people, never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother takes care of his own children. So be affectionate. Be affectionately desirous of you. We were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves. I want to read that verse again. We were not only ready to share with you. We were not ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also ourselves. So it's not just a matter of speaking words, but they were also prepared to give themselves. Because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any one of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witness. The people of Thessalonica, they are witness of what they were doing over there. And God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards your believers. For you know, like a father with his children, we exhorted each other, each one of you, and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And Paul is an example for missionaries. Paul is an example for evangelists. Paul is an example for pastors. But there doesn't it stop. He's also an example for us of what he's doing, what he's mentioning over here. If we take a look at those few things, they were like a mother, gentle and caring attitude. That's how we brought the gospel. This is how we shared the gospel, by being like a mother, gentle and caring. Did not act like important or superior people. So Paul didn't come over there and say, okay, you unsaved people, please listen to me. I've got a message for you. Because I know it better. If you follow me, then you will go to heaven. And if you do not follow me, you go to hell. It wasn't out of that position what he was coming. He was coming and said, guys, I've got something which is very important. I want to share it with you. It's very important. And he had a deep love for the Thessalonians. They were willing to share their lives with the people. They were willing to give their own life for it. And they devoted long hours. They spent many hours over there. And they lived holy and blameless lives. And could not be accused of any wrongdoings. If we take these points and we put them into our own lives and we say, okay, is that really happening with us when we are sharing the gospel? Are we having that motherly love for somebody to bring the gospel? Or are we taking the gospel, putting it down as a packet and say, okay, here's the gospel, it's for you, and then we walk away again? Or are we really caring? Are we nursing? Are we around them? Do we speak to them? Or are we going to act that we say, okay, we know everything, I'm going to bring you the gospel, and if you want to know more, you can come to me. It's not the case. We're really on the same level. And if we've got a deep love, Paul headed for the Thessalonians, what we read over here. Do we have a deep love for the lost in Utrecht? That we really want to share the gospel with them? They devoted long hours. That's a critical thing. Because we sometimes haven't got enough time for our own relationship with God, not even talking about spending time with other people. And lastly, they lived holy and a blameless lives. If we're going to swear to the colleague on the right-hand side next to us, and we want to bring the gospel to the colleague on the left-hand side of us, is that going to work? No. We've got to live blameless. We're not perfect, but we can strive towards that. We can try to do that, that we can live holy and blameless. This is how Paul was working over there. And what it was, what was giving that drive to Paul, we don't know. If it was that Damascus experience what he had, that really was pushing him to do, or was it that excitement what he got when he saw that people were accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior, that he was so excited about it that it made him do these type of things, or if it was a combination of the two, we don't read it. We don't actually get an answer on it. But he had a lot of energy, this guy, this Paul. He wrote many letters, and he spent long hours for the kingdom of God. Jesus was also getting a lot of energy when he spread the news, when he was talking to other people. The example that I want to talk about this afternoon is where Jesus was at the well, talking to that lady, talking about a living water. And we start with John 4, verses 7. Jesus and the lady, both of them, were at the well. And they were both in exactly the same situation. Both of them were thirsty. Jesus was thirsty because he asked the lady, "Can I have something to drink?" The lady was thirsty, otherwise she wouldn't have come out of town to the well. So both of them were thirsty. So both of them were exactly at the same point. And that's the point, that's the place where the conversation started. And we will find it many times as well, that God is giving us a certain situation, a certain thing which is happening. It's actually where we can start a conversation with a person. Because we've got something in common. We both want to go with the same train. We want to buy the same shop or whatever it may be. But then this conversation can start. And it was strange that Jesus was talking to a lady, because it was at that time, it wasn't the custom that a Jewish teacher would speak to a lady in public. And then Samaritan as well, that he wouldn't communicate with her. It was strange what he was doing over there. And then he's talking about that water, that drinking of that water. And I'm just skipping a few verses. John 4:13, if we can read that one now. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." That's the water coming out of the well. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of spring, of water springing up into an everlasting life." So if Jesus is giving water to us, then that water becomes a fountain in us. And what is a fountain doing? A fountain is flowing to other people. So if we receive the living water from Christ, then we become a fountain of that living water to other people. And then they were talking about the prophets and things like that. And then Jesus is talking to that lady. Then I want to quote verse 24. "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." And a woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Jesus was telling that lady now, basically telling the gospel, basically telling the good news, that Jesus, what the people are waiting for, that Messiah, what the people are waiting for, standing in front of you, it's me. And then the reaction from that lady, she left them that water pot, that one which she took to take the water out, and he went inside. Because Jesus also did something which showed her that Jesus knew something about her life, because he said, go and get your husband. And she said, I'm not married at the moment. He knew that. It was a word of wisdom. And when we are sharing the gospel, we can also ask God that he is going to reveal that to us. If there's a word of wisdom what we can get, if there's a word of knowledge, if there's maybe healing what we've got to pray over that person, if there's faith what we can stand for, that something is going to happen, that there would be a gift of the Holy Spirit which can flow through us. Then a woman left her water pot, that's verse 28, went her way into the city and said to the man, come, see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. If we get a lady staying in a place with that type of record, and if she's coming with a certain news, how reliable is she? But there was an excitement in her, which most probably triggered the people. And it was that excitement from that lady which they said, wait a moment, we're going along with her. We're going to walk along with her to this Jesus, to this the Messiah. We want to hear from him. And then I want to talk a little bit about the food, what Jesus is talking about. Because the disciples left Jesus over there because they wanted to buy some food. Jesus was flat. He was didn't have any energy anymore. He was sitting over there and didn't have, we nowadays would maybe buy a Blue Bull or something like that to get some energy back, but Jesus was tired. And in the meantime, his disciples, they came back and they said to him, Rabbi, eat. And the word urged, which is mentioned over there, is actually they begged him. They said, Jesus, please eat something, because your body is needing it. Eat something. In some translations, even talk about it that they prayed to him and they said, Rabbi, eat. But Jesus said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought something, anything to him to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. In short, my food is to give eternal work of eternal life. If I'm giving eternal life to other people, that's food for me. That's giving me energy. I don't know if there are any vegetarians here today or not. But if we take a look at that word, it actually means meat. And meat has got protein in it. And meat is giving you a lot of energy. We can have a long discussion about it. But it's awesome to see how important it is what Jesus is saying. There's such a lot of energy in it, in that food, in that meat, what I'm getting out of it when I share the gospel with somebody else. If we can take a look at the King James Version, it's translated with meat. It's talking about meat. It's not talking about food. The Tao and so on, they are still there in the King James, but it's talking about meat in this specific sentence over here. And then Jesus is going into another direction about the harvest. And then he says, do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? The reason why Jesus is saying that is that the urgency of getting the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the field, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives the wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another one reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. We are over here in Utrecht. Other people have been praying for an English-speaking church in Utrecht. We're praying at the moment for Nijmegen, and it is maybe that we are doing planting work, that we are doing preparation work for somebody else again. We don't know, but this is how God is working. He's using the people who are prepared to work in the kingdom, or to plant, or to harvest, whichever it is. Because the harvest time is a busy time. I don't know how many of you people are coming out of an agriculture type of a background, but all of you will know if it's harvest time, it's hard work, long days, a lot of hours which have got to be put in to get a harvest from the field in time, because there's only such a short period when you can get it. And that's the period where we're living in at the moment. There's only a window period what God is giving us that we can reach out to somebody else. Because that colleague next to you is maybe only there for a season. Maybe after 3 months the person resigns, or you get a promotion, or that person gets a promotion, and is not sitting next to you anymore. And then that window period, what you could speak into that person's life, is over. The harvest is a busy time. It's a window period. And the awesome thing what we see over here with Jesus at the well, what he is doing, he's sowing and he's reaping at the same time. Because he started speaking to the lady and then he started reaping afterwards. Because that we see in the next verses in John 34 verses 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. The testimony of that lady was enough for those people to believe that this is the Messiah. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there another 2 days. Which is strange again for a Jewish teacher to stay with the Samaritans, but he stayed over there. And many more believed because of his own word. So some of those people believed of that lady's word, and some of those people believed of Jesus' words. And then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you've said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." If we take Jesus, and if we take the woman, and if we take a look of what has happened with them, then both of them were thirsty, and both of them were looking for water. Jesus was tired, and he wanted to have something to drink. But then when Jesus started talking to that lady, and he could share who he was, that he was that Messiah, he was the person where the people were waiting for, he got energized by that. He got a lot of energy out of that. He got energy out of it, of sharing the love what the Father has for his creation. The woman, also thirsty in the beginning, she received the gospel. And what happened with her? She got excited. She totally forgot about her thirst. She left the water pot, went into town and started evangelizing over there. That's the energy what that lady got out of that conversation. So both of them, Jesus and that lady, who were both of them thirsty at the beginning, got energized at the end of the conversation. And Jesus got energized. And that lady got energized because they shared. They shared the gospel with somebody else. Sharing for us, it has got a little bit of a negative connotation. It means that if we've got a piece of cake and I've got to share it with Renee, then half of it is going to her and half of it to me. So I'm a little bit of a worse situation as what I was before, I nearly can say. But a beautiful thing of the gospel is that we're not worse off, but that we are better off when we've shared the gospel. When we spoke to somebody and told them of how beautiful it is, what God has done, how much He loves His creation, and that He wants to have a relationship with us. I'm going to do it now practical. And you must probably say, okay, I've never expected something like that, that it can be done in a sermon. I know, I'm strange, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to look for somebody who loves chocolate, but who hates it, to share it with some other people. Is there anyone over here today that you say, I love chocolate, but I don't like it to share it with anyone? I like to eat it myself. I'm looking for one person. If there's no one, then I'm going to appoint one. Yeah. Stefan, come. Take a chair, start eating. It's all yours. No, we want to see you. Now I'm looking for two people who love chocolate, but who love to share it with other people as well. Two ladies, please come. If you do the one on the right and you do the one on the left, share it with the people. And as you're eating the chocolate, can you see what's happening now? We've got one guy over here. And it's only one guy who's happy. But what we've got in the congregation now at the moment is all of us are happy because all of us got a chocolate. And the people who are giving it out, take a look at their smiles, what they've got, because they can give something which is not costing them anything. They can give it, they get pleasure out of it, and all the people are happy. And this is exactly the same what we've got to do with the gospel. Because if we're going to share the gospel, we are going to benefit from it. But the one who's going to receive is also going to benefit from it. That we'll put on the info table afterwards. Thanks a lot. Okay, yeah, for you as well. Thank you. You can take two. How did you feel that you were eating the chocolate on your own and you were not sharing it? Selfish. Yeah, okay. It's good that you felt like it. You can take the balance home. Thanks. I hope that the practical thing is going to stick with you. That if we're going to share the gospel, if we're going to share the love of God with other people, we're going to make other people happy. But we ourselves are also going to be happy. But if we're going to take the gospel and we're going to sit at home and just spend our own time with it, and we're not going to share with it, there's only going to be one person who's going to be happy. And that's not what God told us to do. That's not what Jesus told us to do. We do have to share, and it has got an effect. When I was busy with the sermon, I also got a picture of a foundation. But it wasn't a simple foundation for a basic house or anything like that. But it was a foundation, really big, solid foundation, concrete, reinforcement, steel, and all those type of things. Something big was going to be built over there. And I feel that that is what God wants to do with those who are prepared to spend time with the gospel, with those who are prepared to share it with other people, with those who are prepared to share His love. God wants to build something big on that. The other word what I got with it as well is dig deep. We've got to dig deep. God is A relationship with God is not a shallow thing. It's not just above the surface. It's going to be something very big, but we've got to dig deep, that the foundation is going to be solid. And that building God's church, which can be built on it, that it can be solid. You're most probably going to ask now, okay, what's next? What must I do? You say, share the gospel. What must I do? Must I attack the first person who I'm going to meet in the church? What must I do? And I just grabbed a few things and I wrote them down. First thing, we've got to pray to God. We've got to start where the message is coming from. God, what do you want me to do? To whom should I pray? For whom should I pray? With whom should I share the message? With whom must I talk about you? So then we're going to pray to God. And then after God has shown us to whom we've got to pray or to whom, with whom we've got to share, that we can start praying for those people which God puts on our hearts, that we can start praying for it. It could be your neighbor. It could be somebody in your street. It could be your colleague. It could be the person who you see on the bus each and every time, and you now and then have got a little bit of a discussion. It could be a lot of people. But trust God that He is going to show to you to whom you've got to speak, and that opportunities are going to arise. That there is going to be, suddenly you're standing next to a person, or suddenly the person is asking you a question, and then you can start and open up a conversation, that you use those opportunities which has been created by God. And then lastly, that's what I would like to challenge you with, pray that prayer. We spoke about it yesterday at the small group leader training as well, that we ask and we say, Lord, please send me those people. Please send those people to me who are in need of the gifts you have given to me. Jesus used the word of wisdom at the well. And God is giving us whatever we need. It could be that when you're sitting next to a person that you feel suddenly you've got a pain in the shoulder. Have the guts. Ask the person, do you have pain in your shoulder, maybe? Say, yes, can I pray for you? That the gifts of the Holy Spirit can flow through us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not there only for the apostles. They are for us as well. And we would like to let them flow as much as possible. Because those are the gifts which, with that lady, she suddenly saw at the right moment. Here's something supernatural happening. How can that person, that Jewish person, know about my five husbands I already had? It's a word of knowledge. So that God can use us and that we can pray, Lord, please send me those people who are in need of the gifts you've given me. I'm now going to ask that the communion is going to be shared. Can I maybe ask the two ladies who shared the chocolate that they maybe can share the communion as well? That we are reminded again what Jesus has done for us. He died at the cross. God sent His Son for our sins, that we can have a living relationship with a living God, that we can be reminded again. And I'm inviting you, there are some visitors over here, if you used to have communion in your own church, that you can have communion over here as well. And that together we can be reminded again, remembered again of what God has done for us. And what He wants to do, He wants to have that relationship with us. And I'm not quite sure if it's going to work out like that, but I'm going to ask that we are going to have communion with each other. That you're going to take the symbols which you've got. That the people sitting on that side are going to walk over to the other. No, wait a minute, you've got more seats. That the people on that side are going to walk over to the other side, grab a chair, grab a person, specifically with a person who you do not know, and start sharing God's love. Just say to that person, God loves you. Start over here. Start today. Start today with sharing the gospel. And the most important thing is that we are prepared to to say to another person, God loves you. It's very safe in here. There's nothing strange. On the street, it's sometimes difficult. People will have a look at you and say, well, where are you talking about now? Who is God? I don't believe in a God. Or you're talking about love, but they only know the love which they see in the Hollywood movies. That you can share it with the other person. You say, God loves you. And that you can start practicing over here. And that we're not going to stop, that we're going to continue with it for the rest of our lives.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.